Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Love podcast, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Show podcast.
You're damn right it is.
We're shouting again.
Yes.
Shouting's back.
Yes. It's so bad.
I'm going to call that out again.
Yeah.
Hate it. I always hate that from Sean. I'm speaking up now.
Tough day for nonsense today.
Yep. Why?
Gary Glitter.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, so we're shouting. That's why shouting's back.
Oh.
Every time something bad happens to a paedophile, we shout.
He's going to stay inside.
Yes! How are you?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was big news this morning, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Big news. And so I'm...
It's all anyone's talking about.
It's all we're talking about.
Absolutely. Should we explain why there wasn't a podcast on Monday? Because people were asking.
Why wasn't there a podcast on Monday?
You were off and I was off sick.
Well, Ollie could have done it himself.
He could have done a solo.
He could have done it with Sean.
He could have.
So I would say it's pure grift, that.
He's actually shortchanged you all and us all. Because I was looking forward to... I was late listening to it when I'm not on it.
Do you think that we should have made like a lie about why?
Okay, yeah, cut this. Why was there no podcast? Excuse me, why was there no podcast on Monday?
Because me and Ed fell out catastrophically.
Mm-hmm.
What did we fall out over?
You were going to speak in favour of popular conservatism, and when you found out that I was going to make a video about it, you were quite angry with me.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Because you and your boyfriend, Mark Littlewood, were having dinner.
What's your problem, pal?
That you're going out with Mark Littlewood. I think that's my problem.
I've only ever sympathised with one IEA policy.
Oh, the smoking one?
No, the tax cuts. yeah, no, the smoking one. Should we just get in?
Get into PMQs, where I think just from the bat we should just mention that PMQs just proves, if you needed reminding, what a repellent little creep Rishi Sunak is.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a fucking horrible man. And this, I think, we'll get into why, but yeah, let's start with a clip from Keir Starmer.
Mr. Speaker, a year ago, the Prime Minister promised to bring NHS waiting lists down. Isn't he glad he didn't bet a grand on it?
Mr. Speaker, at least I stand by my commitments. He's so indecisive, the only bet he'd make is an each way bet.
Well, Mr. Speaker, he says he stands by his commitments. He once insisted that if he missed his promises, these are the words he used, I'm the Prime Minister, and then he said, it's on me personally. Yeah. Yeah. T- today we learned from his own officials that he's the blocker to any deal to end the doctor strikes.
Yep.
And he's always, every time he's asked, he blames everyone else. So what exactly did he mean when he said it's on him personally if he doesn't meet his promise?
Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, we are bringing the waiting list down for the longest waiters. We're making progress. But it's a bit rich, Mr Speaker, to hear about promises from someone who's broken every single promise he was elected on. I mean, I think I counted almost 30 in the last year. Pensions, planning, peerages, public sector pay, tuition fees, childcare, second referendums, defining a woman. Although, in fairness, that was only 99% of a U-turn. The list goes on, but the theme is the same, Mr Speaker. It's empty words, broken promises, and absolutely no plan.
Of all the weeks to say that, when Brianna's mother is in this chamber, shame, parading as a man of integrity when he's got absolutely no responsibility. Absolute. Of all.
But either side. I think the member's getting carried away. Can I just say that our constituents wants to hear the questions and they certainly want to hear the answers. They don't want to hear organised barracking. So please, I want no more. Keir Starmer.
I think the role of the Prime Minister is to ensure that every single citizen in this country feels safe and respected. It's a shame the Prime Minister doesn't share that.
So what was happening in that clip there was Keir Starmer was talking about NHS dentistry and NHS waiting lists. Rishi Sunak starts to reel off all of the U-turns that the Labour leader has done in the past year, including his change on his definition of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because Brianna Jay's mother, is sitting in the public gallery as he's saying that.
Yeah, and rightfully, there was a lot of outcry. The Prime Minister was given the opportunity to apologise in the chamber by, I think, Keir Starmer.
It was, and Labour's... Yeah, first, you're right, yeah, sorry.
And then a Labour MP...
Liz Twist.
Yes, given the opportunity as well, and he...
Should we roll that clip?
Yeah, it's that.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. And may I take the opportunity to ask the Prime Minister if he will consider apologising to Brianna Gray's mother for his insensitive comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
But turning to my question, the independent report into Teesworks, released last Monday, throws up more questions than it answers.
Yeah.
And it's vital that we now have a National Audit Office investigation. The report was scathing and said there is insufficient transparency to offer evidence of value for money. Shouldn't the government lead by example? And will the Prime Minister finally release details of his conversations surrounding Teesworks, as he was asked to do twice last year?
Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I think the Honourable Lady was talking about the report in Teesworks, as far as I can see. And what that report noted was that the pace and scope of the regeneration had a wide-reaching positive impact on the local economy. And, of course, it was an independent external report. It makes it clear that there's no evidence of corruption or illegality. And the government will, of course, respond to the recommendations in the report as soon as possible.
Alicia Cairns!
It's because he's a horrible little man. He's a vile cretin. If you don't understand... I understand. How do you not have the forethought or the sense of shame, the sense of guilt, to recognise in that situation where Brianna Jai's mother is there that you're being transphobic,
mm-hmm.
and you're making light of it?
I think so. There's two parts of it. I think the first part is the heinous nature of it, not just because she's there, but for saying it in general.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Because it's sort of toying or playing with the lives of trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like they don't have the right to, you know, they don't even have the right to have a little bit of dignity, even in death.
Yeah.
And I think that is really disturbing. But then the other side of it is, That's the second time this week that Rishi Sunak has made quite an incredible gaffe.
Yeah.
The first one being the £1,000 bet put on Rwanda deportations. And I think it just shows that the Prime Minister is unable to think on his feet, and he's also unable to apologise or rectify a mistake when it's made. Mm-hmm. Because in that moment, what he could have done is he could have made that jibe, which was pre-written. He was reading off his bits of paper that would have been prepared by his spads that morning. And what he could have done when Keir Starmer said that, he could have said, do you know what? Hands up there. I apologise. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been a much better story about him as a person than what we've got now.
Yeah. And it just shows what a contemptible moron he is. Just making light of... he's making light of two of the most vulnerable people in Britain.
Yeah.
Trans people, refugees. He's making bets about their future.
I thought you were going to name Keir Starmer as one of the most vulnerable people in the UK. I was like, yes.
Yep. An old white man.
Did you know that the thing that strikes me about that is a lot of the discourse on after that Rwanda bet aired on Monday was, well, if the Prime Minister can't think on his feet in an interview with Piers Morgan, how on earth is he going to think on his feet when he's talking to Vladimir Putin?
And I
completely agree with that. So he might be sitting down with Vlad after Tucker Carlson's finished his interview with him, and he might be like, look, Vlad, this thing with Ukraine, what do we reckon about it? And he's like, I just want Crimea. And he's like, take it. And then he comes back like, oh shit, I gave him Crimea.
I gave him Crimea and Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
He took more.
Yes. Yeah. So we're actually going to put the Russian embassy is going to be Scotland.
I want that.
Yeah.
Just everyone, it becomes Scotland grad.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
That was a great Russian joke.
But he's only going to annex. He's going to annex Dublin. It wasn't even yours to give away.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm so bad. Also, what we need to remember about Rishi Sunak and how shit a political operator he is, he lost a leadership election to Liz Truss. who yesterday at Popular Conservatism, which was, I don't know, I lost brain cells by watching any content coming out of that.
Even your own?
Even my own. Like, I was just getting angrier and angrier.
Should we play do you want to play one of your classic clips?
Or should we do, Sean does a really good edit of Liz Truss's, the best bits of her speech.
Well, let's play, because I think it's really funny, your interaction with Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that.
Mr. Rees-Mogg, that was a bit embarrassing, wasn't it?
That was delightful. No, I think Steve is...
Sorry, I mean the conference, not Steve Bray.
Oh, the conference was marvellous.
I think, does the public really want to hear about wokeism, about communism?
The public is very interested in hearing these things. They're not particularly interested in lefty outfits, I don't think.
I disagree with you there, Mr. Rees-Mogg.
Well, that doesn't particularly surprise me. No. You would professionally.
You sound a bit out of breath in that.
Fuck off. You weird incel.
And now should we play Liz Truss?
Yep.
Wokeism seems to be on the curriculum. We've got more than 500 quangos in Britain. People want to see lower legal immigration. Conservatives have not taken on the left-wing extremists. They don't admit they're socialists or communists anymore. They say they're environmentalists. They say that they're in favour of helping people across all communities. They are in favour of supporting LGBT people or groups of ethnic minorities. Conservative cabinet ministers have met Greta Thunberg and asked her what she wanted. I never get invited to any London dinner parties, so it's not an issue. It's not an issue for me. Oh, I feel some invitations coming on after that. None of us are saying, by the way, that MPs are brilliant or infallible, but we certainly are ejectable. And I myself have been at the sharp end of that. Keir Starmer would enhance the power of these so-called independent bodies. He'd enhance the power of these quangos. He'd outsource more decision-making to his friends in Islington, which is where a lot of them live. If you ask the under 30s what they think of democracy, there's not a very polite response.
So Liz Truss, also Liz Truss in that speech talks about not knowing what a woman is, and there was no condemnation of that yesterday.
Mm.
It just shows how normalised this insane level of transphobia is in this media discourse, and there doesn't seem to be any recognition. So actually, I'm going to, have I got this right? not fine. It's only not fine to be transphobic when you're around someone whose daughter has been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Is fine to be transphobic when you've got a newspaper column, you write for a newspaper, you have a radio show, you're a broadcaster. That's all fine.
Fellas, clip that one up on its own and out of context.
It just drives me nuts. This could and should be an opportunity for everyone to really reckon with the dehumanization of trans people in this country,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, is a relatively recent phenomenon. And it's shameful.
Well, you know, pathetic factions like Popcorn, who mm-hmm. Rely on culture war rather than anything substantive, are not going to fix the problems in this country. And I'm not even convinced that they're going to win an election with those. I think 6 months ago, a year ago, when this was a bit fresher, when people were in cervix hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? That was mental. Well, there are women without cervixes. What do we call them? And it was like, this is, do you hear yourself?
Yep.
Perhaps then that might have actually aided and abetted an election. I think people are really tired of it now. You know, like, okay, so you've had 2 decades of wage stagnation. Mm. You've got people genuinely on the breadline because of poor growth. And then you've got this like, fiscal ineptitude that is being offered by Liz Truss mm-hmm. and the rest of Popcorn with a side dish of culture war.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think people are that stupid that they're going to go, nice one?
Yeah, that's what they don't seem to realise is that the people I was speaking to yesterday who were going in, who were Tory members, were blind optimists, being like, they don't like Starmer and the Labour Party, really. They just don't like us. So we need to make them like us. And they're like, if you're losing to an unpopular Labour Party by that margin, you're just fucked and just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Just accept it.
Yeah. Actually, can we hear that Holly Valance clip?
And have yours been a right-of-centre person, or is that, are you a Conservative? Where are you politically?
I would say that everyone starts off as a lefty and then wakes up at some point after you start either making money, working, trying to run a business, trying to buy a home, and then realise what crap ideas they all are, and then you go to the right.
And you heard, of course, Liz Truss speak just now. Jacob Rees-Mogg, how did you find that? Who was your favourite speaker?
Oh, the speakers today were fantastic. I thought Liz was actually really, really interesting to listen to. Jacob for PM, the MP for Ashfield was awesome. Love a Northerner, straight to the point and very sensible and for real people.
See, when people are like, oh my God, Holly Valance is here, I was like, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, Holly Valance has done this. Why does everyone care about Holly Valance that much?
Well, people liked Neighbours.
Yeah, but like, did they like it that much?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
No, I don't imagine if Toadie's here.
Who?
Grow up. You know who Toadie is. You don't know who Toadie is. You know who Holly Valance, Toadie from Neighbours.
No, I don't like Neighbours. I don't know anything about Neighbours.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were doing a whole Neighbours thing.
I now I realise that you were saying Tony and not Toadie.
Yeah, so Toadfish Rebecca was a lawyer who lived on
Drury Lane.
What was the name of that street? Ramsey Street.
Mm.
And so if he came out and was in favour of like a momentum rally, actually that would be strange. I'd be interested in that if Toadfish Rebecca turned up to like a momentum rally.
Mm-hmm.
So I now kind of get it.
Right. The thing that I found fascinating about that clip was that the argument was this sort of like the really conceited and quite gloating way in which she said, oh, when you earn a bit of money, then you stop believing in the left and you want to turn right. And stupid, because you're there to see Liz Truss, who apparently was really interesting. Not sure that she's ever been interested before in her life, and she found that interesting. You think that the person who crashed the economy and sent mortgage repayments through the roof with, you know, everyone's on variable interest rates now, you think that that is the person who is good for business and mm-hmm. good for landlording, mm-hmm. even objectively? Like, are you a fool?
Mm-hmm. Should we do more PMQs?
Please.
Stephen Flynn.
Mr. Speaker, the public are used to the Tories gambling on the lives of others. Yeah. Boris Johnson, he did it with public health during the pandemic. His immediate successor, she did it with household finances. So not to be outdone, the Prime Minister on Monday this week accepted a crude bet regarding the lives of asylum seekers. In doing so, he demeaned them as individuals and he degraded the office that he currently holds. So can I ask him, will he apologise?
Brother Flynn.
I think Stephen Flynn, or what this week, or maybe what I'm learning about Rishi Sunak or relearning, is just he has no dignity. He doesn't quite realise, he's got no gravitas. You know, people talk about, like, oh, he's a statesman or whatever about politicians. Rishi Sunak is the furthest thing away from a statesman-like politician. He's petulant, thick, like, can't apologise, can't recognise. Like, what he did, making the bet about the Rwanda deal was completely abhorrent. And Stephen Flynn, in a quite a barbed way, is trying to get him to acknowledge what he's done, what he did was absolutely atrocious. And people would like Rishi Sunak more if he went, yeah, fucking stupid for me. Oh, silly Rishi's done it again.
Or like, at least to buy it, to to completely, like, filibuster the question. It's really embarrassing. Like, just be like, I stand by the bet.
Give him two lines each?
Yeah. He was like, Mr. Speaker, if you look at Scotland, they're paying the highest tax burden. And it's like, so we're talking about not that.
Yeah, no, but just you're demeaning. And he's right, he's demeaning the office of Prime Minister, which, I don't know, just fucking fuck off, Sunak.
I think, I don't, he is demeaning the office of Prime Minister, but I don't think he's doing it intentionally.
No, I don't think he is either. I think
he's really bad at public speaking.
Oh, I think he's a bad politician.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why he wants to do this. If I had his money, you would not see me ever. I certainly wouldn't want to go into politics where poor people can make fun of you.
I think that you would. I think that if you won the lottery, you would go and buy an offshoot of this brand and just make boxes all the time.
just buy the licensing for my boxes.
Yeah.
Would that be? But then that would be
because you love video editing. You really enjoy it.
I do like video editing. Yeah. I think I think you would have you sit down with the most anonymous MP and really get to grips with their policy platform.
What? That's what I would do if I had a lot of money.
Yeah, that's what, like, what Vox Pop are to me, that is to you.
Yeah.
Like, real wonky policy analysis.
If I want an obscene amount of money, like an obscene, you know, I mean, like, nearly a billion.
Yeah.
I would want to build a railway.
A railway?
No. I tell you what I want to do. I want to divert the Elizabeth line so that it goes to Peckham Town Football Club.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, I don't know. Have you got £1 billion?
Well,
I'm sure that I could, you know, sit next to someone at a Conservative donor dinner. That's the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, but then think about planning laws in this country. You'd never see it. You'd never get to use the line.
Why?
Because we'd be done in like 100 years.
What, you don't think I'm going to live for 100 years?
100 more years?
Yeah.
No.
Why are you wishing my death?
No offence, I don't think you're going to live to 140.
Okay, well, you can keep that to yourself.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Do you know one thing that's really bothering me, actually, the more I think about it, about the Brianna...
Jai.
Sorry. It's because in my head I think we were saying gay for so long.
Yeah.
Brianna Jai jibe is that her mother has to relive that every single day.
Yeah.
And these are headlines that she now has to be in for another couple of days. Can you imagine the trauma of losing your child, mm-hmm. being in the news cycle, mm-hmm. and then you go to Parliament and you become the headline again? Can you imagine how exhausting that is?
Yeah.
The pain that that woman must be in.
Especially so, because people will be following over themselves to meet her and offer their sympathies. And a lot of those people will be the same people who are being... have been so heinous around who, if Brianna was still alive, would happily vilify her.
Yeah. I find the... The gender critical lobby that was jumping on the Brianna Jai case, some of the arguments that are used on the discourse are so heinous. Mm. I can't even wrap my head around it. You know, you've got some people that say things like, her mother was wrong to ever recognize her, or, you know, what part of the feminist progressive movement went, oh, do you know what? We were quite like equal rights, and now it's, we'd quite like to celebrate the murder of a teenager.
Mm-hmm. It was also meant, like, I think every conversation about trans people should maybe begin with this statistic. They are 0.1% of the population of England and Wales.
Mm.
Like, it's so few people. It also drives me nuts when, like, sports, I think, in, like, was it, I'm going to get this slightly wrong, I think, but I think rugby in England, certainly rugby somewhere in the UK, banned trans women from participating in a women's team. And it actually amounted to basically one woman was banned from playing the sport she loves. Like, it's, people are going out of their way, and it's becoming people's purpose in life to just beat down what amounts to actually one person.
Yeah.
And deprive them of joy. And being trans women, really hard. It's a really hard, well, there's stigma, there's risk of violence, there's risk of murder. There's that experience of must be, I have so much sympathy, but I can't even bring myself to understand it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It must be so brutal to just constantly see in the media, mainstream media, people platforming these just totally abhorrent views.
And for shame, because the number of politicians that would have been alive and cognizant during the 80s who would have witnessed the HIV epidemic, mm-hmm. and would have seen how people in the LGBT community were treated, mm-hmm. during that time,
mm-hmm.
the sort of language that was used about people. And, you know, there was a moment, a watershed moment, when people said, never again. Mm-hmm. We're never going to speak about people like this ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are doing it again.
So just on a slightly lighter note about LGBT issues, do you know who Tom Garrett is?
Mm-mm.
So he's this football podcaster who's a bit like, he's on one of those football podcasts that are like, they just say, have the most atrocious takes to get clicks kind of thing. But someone found a video, and he's quite like a laddie, football lad guy, he makes TikToks. Someone found a video of, someone hacked his Snapchat and found a video from like 7 years ago of him like giving his mate a handjob or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And his reaction to it has actually been quite extraordinary.
What an incredible invasion.
Oh, I think it's
privacy.
It's like revenge porn, basically.
What's wrong with people?
But lots of the reaction, so football Twitter's gone nuts about it. And his reaction, Tom's reaction has been actually like, pretty remarkable, I think, in terms of he's being like, you're all being extremely homophobic by talking about, you're like, you're saying this is disgusting. You're saying that, like, he was like, it's whatever. He's like, I'm not gay. Well, I might be because I did this. But like, he's being like, you're all being extremely homophobic about this. And it's...
Who cares?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's pretty admirable.
A lot of that sort of, that noise comes from people who want to do... some, you know, who want to participate in those sort of sexual acts but are too afraid of themselves to do it. But not, you know, they're too afraid of their peers to do it. If everyone just calmed the fuck down
and
just gave their mate a hand job, it would be fine.
And a lot of them are also just out and out homophobes as well.
Well, they hate themselves, don't they? That's kind of what you get about like some.
I think you get there's like people are just homophobes, and but they aren't necessarily.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of like the kind of the boys at school. Like, you know, if they were, you know, if they were experimenting or whatever, and it would be the people who were experimenting who would then turn around and like be like, oh, he's a so and so, he's a this, he's a that, and it's like, guys, don't self-loathe. Self hand job.
If any of the audience
don't self loathe, give a hand job.
Come here.
Yeah.
You've had a rough day, pal.
Yeah.
If any of the audience do know who Tom Garrett is, I think they'll be quite surprised that we're talking about him, because I don't think the Venn diagram are two separate circles. I think
Ed's got his hands up right now, and he's doing hand job motions.
I just wish my boys were here. Shall we do Tim Lowton?
Please.
Mr. Speaker, the thoughts of the people of East Worthing and Shoreham are with His Majesty as well. Yeah. The Archbishop of Canterbury has admitted that since taking office, the attendance at the Church of England has dropped by 15%. And in the 10 years to COVID, the number of baptisms in the Church of England has fallen from 140,000 a year to 87,000. So Christianity in the UK seems to be on the wane, unless apparently you are from a Muslim country in the middle of an asylum claim, and we are now told that one in seven occupants of the Bibi Stockholm have suddenly become practicing Christians. Can I ask the Prime Minister, given that the Church of England has now issued secret guidance for clergy supporting asylum applications for these Damascene conversions, who is the church accountable to, and are taxpayers being scammed by the Archbishop?
Well, Mr. Speaker, when it comes to illegal migrants, we need to have a system whereby if someone comes here illegally, they shouldn't be able to stay. I can tell him that my right honourable friend, the Home Secretary, has asked for more information about the extent to which migrants converting to Christianity is playing a role in our asylum system, and more generally, under our Illegal Migration Act, anyone entering the UK illegally will not be granted asylum here. That's why we need to have somewhere to send them, and why our Rwanda scheme is so important. The Labour Party have blocked these measures every single step of the way because they don't have a plan and they won't keep Britain safe.
Tim Lowton there, beginning doing quite... I thought, I was like, when this clip started, I kind of like, I was like, oh, you're asking, like, interesting, you're asking about the state of the Church of England. Is quite a conservative thing to lament the end of English Christianity. But no.
Church goers are down. mass attendance down.
Baptisms down.
Yeah.
But no, he thinks the Archbishop of Canterbury is too woke.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And actually, he said that he was, what was the word he said about the taxpayer? Scamming?
The Archbishop of Canterbury is scamming the taxpayer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. There's really no... So basically, there's just so much I want to say. I'm going to try and summarise it. So I find this amusing because what the Church of England is essentially doing is like late stage empire. Like, so it's converting. Asylum seekers are converting to Christianity, which is pretty much what British people used to do. They used to sail around the world and then convince people to be Christian. Mm-hmm. And they believed that that was their, you know, God-given duty to do it. But, you know, not even like the proper OG religion, not the Catholic. They would do
you'd hate this.
Henry VIII's knockoff. Like, not even the real religion.
you're actually just angry there are more Protestants in the world. That's what really gets your back up about this.
I'm just saying, like, you know, Henry VIII is the opium of the...
of the English peasants.
Yeah.
Is the opium of the monasteries.
Yeah, it's just not real. The king is
Protestantism isn't real.
The king is not...
Catholicism is real. Protestantism isn't real.
I'm glad we brought that up.
Okay, well...
Thank you, Ed.
What about the other religions? Did you have any comments about their legitimacy?
No, because the only one that I really do know back and front is Catholicism and... that other fake one.
No other thoughts.
You're really telling me. You believe that when the king got coronated last year and they put the ointment of God on him, you really think that that was Jesus going, yeah, man, you can spread the word now. Grow up.
Like, I thought that, like, from a pageantry point of view, that was quite sick.
Pageantry, yes.
I thought it was like, because he was like covered, and he was like, "Only God can see you now." That's pretty. That is like, how would you?
God's in the cage.
See, like, regardless, I imagine like whoever is in line for the throne, reckoning with becoming king, you'd be like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do this." God goes in you, and you're like, "I'm the king now.
Yeah.
I can do this."
Yeah, really change how you'd make love. Wouldn't it
really give you some
spirit
vim.
Of Christ compels you?
Really give you some vim and vigor in your humping. This was making me laugh about Tim Loughton and the Archbishop of Canterbury. The three pillars of conservatism, English conservatism, were the Church, the Constitution, and another C, which I've immediately forgotten. Crown, excuse me, Church, Crown, Constitution. And
hung, drawn and quartered for that.
English conservatism, British conservatism is in such a shit state at the moment that they are just, so they had the EU. The EU is the enemy for so long. Done that. Vanquished. They vanquished us. We lost, but we're giving them a good fight. So that's done now. They're looking round for a new enemy, and they've got so trigger happy. They're now taking on the Church of England.
Yeah.
One of the key components. Like, who do you think their voters, the people still voting for the Conservative, are?
Mm-hmm.
I think they go to church every Sunday.
It's one of those wheels, isn't it, that was on this morning with all the prize money on it, except it's like a different populace.
Oh, is it the socialist IMF?
Yeah.
Or is it the socialist Archbishop of Canterbury?
You know, though, that comment from Tim Loughton today was so at odds with like Miriam Cates, Danny Kruger,
yep,
the other evangelicals. Even Rishi Sunak is pretty evangelical. In terms of like, you know, Miriam Cates has been up there talking about the, you know, the nuclear family and presenting herself as the perfect woman who, you know, natalist, who produces children. She's not going to like that comment.
No.
She believes in the Church of England.
Do you know who's coming next? Who they're about to put into their sights?
Who?
Someone who's absolutely untouchable in this country, who, and then this just shows that they're all out of ideas. They're going to come for Paddington Bear.
No, don't be ridiculous.
They're going to.
That bloody socialist.
He's too woke.
Yeah.
What was that thing you showed me earlier?
Oh, with the king. It'll be all right, sir.
But then someone's comment, which was insane.
Oh, no, that was something else, wasn't it? Alex Shelbrook, wasn't it?
No, that was another funny thing. But no, it was you should, someone said that Alex Shelbrook, the MP, looks like someone in an opera play, Michael Pertillo, which was very funny. But it was someone saying, actually, anyone who thinks Paddington Bear would be in, yes, favour of tougher restrictions on refugees is out their head, because he was a refugee from Peru.
Yeah.
And like, well, he's not real.
Yeah.
He's also, I don't think we need to take Paddington Bear's opinions about politics. Shall we ask the Secret Seven what they think about tax rebates?
Do you know what I might do? I might leak a story to the Telegraph where I say that the next Paddington Bear, he'll have brown bread rather than white bread. And like, I don't know, some kind of vegan spread in it.
Yep.
I actually think that would get written.
It's normally not vegan anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
It probably is.
It probably is, isn't it? No butter with it.
No egg, gluten-free marmalade.
Paddington Bear will now no longer use butter because it's offensive to cows. It's not inclusive of children who can't. It's gluten-free bread because it's not inclusive of children who can't eat gluten. I think that they would publish that story.
Do you know what else I think they publish? Paddington Bear's name is being changed because they're twinning Paddington with Brussels. So it's actually Paddington Brussels Bear.
That's really funny. No, that is. That's really good.
They're changing. They're changing Paddington Bear. Well, how many Paddington films have there been? Two or three?
I'm not sure.
I've actually never seen any of them. They're supposed to be very good.
Are they?
But
apparently, I've heard that Paddington 2 is better than Paddington 1.
I've also heard that. I think he goes to prison in the Paddington 2. So actually, Paddington 3 is he becomes a committed abolitionist.
Paddington Bear misses his cost of living payment. Goes to prison for falsifying universal credit.
Paddington Bear joins the Labour Party.
He'd be a Lib Dem. Don't you think he's a Lib Dem?
I don't know. Because he's not real. We actually asked Barney the Dinosaur about Ukraine. And this is what he had to say.
What did he say?
He was not good.
Oh, really?
No.
Do you remember when they were going to put Gary Glitter in a safe house in Devon?
No.
Oh, do you know who told me that? A Tory MP told me that.
That was his plan.
He told me, like, off the cuff, he was like, you cannot tell anyone, but I'm extremely concerned about these plans that we're going to put him in. And I'm not joking. He goes, can you imagine the house prices? I was like, sure. That's the problem.
They would go down, to be fair. But you wouldn't advertise it as being near Gary Glitter's house. You'd lie.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
On?
He might have one fan.
Gary! Imagine how weird Gary Glitter's remaining fan is.
Yeah.
On that note, shall we finish?
Do you know what we didn't get to bring up, which I really wanted to bring up? While I was in Paris, we played a really fun game, which I think we should play on the next. We can play it on the next podcast.
Tease that now for the next episode.
Is incest illegal in this country? And it would shock you.
Is it in France?
Well, that's for one for next time, boys.
Because famously, 1 in 10 people in France are victims of incest.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
Because it started by me saying, there's 100 people in here. 10 of these people are shagging their brother.
And you can tell, because they look haunted.
No, they're so chic in France. Smoke anywhere you want, drink any time of day. Smoke anywhere
God,
you want.
God, you are such an IEA person. I think you do very well at the IEA.
I often think about my career trajectory, and I think if I had decided to be a right-wing shill, I would be a millionaire right now.
Oh, you'd be loaded.
Yeah.
You'd be so loaded.
Yeah.
You'd have a lot more incel followers now.
Yeah. I think I have quite a lot of incel followers anyway.
Yeah, but I think I don't think they're like incels, and like they're like not capital I incels, they're just like losers who don't have sex. But they're not like violent.
Ed?
What?
Who's the losers that don't have sex?
Your fans.
Is it your followers?
No. I'm a loser who doesn't have sex.
Ah.
People like me, they get it done.
Right.
They bone down.
And on that bombshell?
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for whatever that was.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that conversation. Thanks everyone for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Politics Show. We never ask people to do that, but I think we should.
Be nice if you did.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. And also,
because we have a morning meeting on a Monday, and like we have to take figures with us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's nice when there's a nice figure to present.
Absolutely, and make sure to watch all of the content to its completion. So our retention rates are really high.
But apart from Ed's, don't watch Ed's.
No, do watch mine. Mine's good.
No, Ed's are actually really good.
Thank you, and so is Ava's.
Shut the fuck.
Yeah, have a lovely rest of the week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.